I want to start by reading from the book of Psalms, Psalm 19. Psalm 19. The heavens are telling the glory of God, and the firmament proclaim his handiwork. Day to day pours forth speech, and night to night declares knowledge. There is no speech, nor are there words. Their voice is not heard. Yet their voice goes out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In the heavens, he has set a tent for the sun, which comes out like a bridegroom from his wedding canopy, and like a strong man runs its course with joy. Its rising is from the end of the heavens, and its circuit to the end of them, and nothing is hid from its heat. The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The decrees of the Lord are sure, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is clear, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. The ordinances of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, even much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and drippings of the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is your servant warned, and keeping them there is great reward. But who can detect their errors? Clear me from hidden faults. Keep back your servant also from the insolent. Do not let them have dominion over me. Then I shall be blameless and innocent of great transgression. And let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable to you, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Psalm 19. I must start this morning by commenting on the incredible blessing of being able to stand before you each week and deliver a message from God's word. I didn't get a chance to stand before you last week. And you should know that when I'm absent, when I'm not here, when I'm traveling, I may be on vacation, I may be doing something fun, I may be, you know, at a speaking engagement or doing something else. But my heart and my mind and my spirit is always here. I've gotten so used to being in this space on Sunday mornings that when I'm not here, I'm just out of whack. I get up at the same time roughly on Sundays, no matter where I'm at, because I'm just used to that rhythm. And so not being here, I want you to know that I'm still here. I'm also grateful, though, that there are folks here who can fill in for me. So I want to thank Bill Johnson for filling in last week and speaking about who am I and our identity. Thank you so much for doing that. But I just have to thank you all for allowing me to be your preacher, to have this privilege and opportunity to stand before you and preach. And so as this is my role and my calling and my vocation, I want to ask the body of Christ, I want to ask Reynoldsburg to just keep my family in your prayer, because I do not take this task lightly. I am consumed by being God's man for you in this role as a preacher. So pray that I will stay immersed first in the Word of God and then into this profession in the Word of God for the people of God. And again, I thank you for this privilege to serve God. It was January 4th, 2009. On that Sunday, I stood right here. There was a different, you know, table, podium, but I stood right here, and I announced a plan to this church. On that Sunday, I said that we were going to read through the entire Bible as a church. Not only were we going to read through the Bible, we were going to preach through the entire Bible in that 1 year. The plan was to start with Genesis and read the equivalent of one Bible book per week, starting with Genesis in the Old Testament and going all the way through Revelation in the New Testament. So to explain further to the entire church, we read Genesis. So January 4th, you know, I announced what we were going to do. On January 11th, I got up to preach on the book of Genesis, but that previous week, everyone in the church that you know chose to participate read the book of Genesis. And I know that was a, you know, for some a lot to read in a week, but we did it. And so as I preached on January 11th, everyone, when I was making references to things in Genesis, people in the audience were saying, "Yeah, I remember reading that." Even some of the obscure stories in the book of Genesis. And then that Monday, or maybe some people started on a Sunday, they started to read the book of Exodus. And then that following Sunday, I preached on Exodus. And then they read Leviticus. And that following Sunday, I preached on Leviticus and so forth and so on. We did this for an entire year. In addition to that reading schedule, that preaching schedule, our Sunday school class for adults were on that book that I was preaching on that week. And the small groups also focused on those books. I found that series to be one of the most productive, meaningful, and labor-intensive series that I have ever been a part of. I was starting year four in the role of a preaching minister at this church. I recall beginning every sermon with a competition. If you recall, we had pews back then. We didn't have chairs, and it was split down the middle, and there was this side of pews and that side of pews. And if you were here, you recall that I would start the sermon off by saying, "Who brought your Bibles?" Y'all remember that? And I would say to this side, you know, "Put your Bibles up," and then we'd go over here and say, who brought your Bibles?" You would put your Bible up, and we'd have a competition, which side would bring their Bibles. Now, some of you smarties, you know, if one side was winning, you start sitting on that side or sitting on that side so you can be a part of the winning team. We had fun with that. We would do that. I also recall, I remember that Lifeway, which was a Bible bookstore off of 256. I remember they had a sale on Bibles. And I remember buying like 2-3 cases of these Bibles. And we made sure that anyone who needed a Bible could have one of these Bibles. And we gave out all of those Bibles. I remember walking in the building and throughout the hallways on Sundays and overhearing conversations between members as they discussed what they had read the previous week in these books. I overheard laughter as they tried to pronounce some of these difficult names of peoples and names of towns and these words in the Bible. I stood amused at the way church members would say things like, I never knew that was in the Bible. Or can you believe that the Bible actually said that? More importantly, I witnessed men and women embracing a regular rhythm of reading and studying scripture as a part of their spiritual journey. It was a glorious time, 2009, and I believe the series went all the way through 2010, the beginning of January of 2010. That series was called A Look at the Book. I think I got the graphic from that there. Should be an I or something like that. That series is on our website. If you ever want to go back and listen to any of those sermons. You can go to the website and listen to any one of those sermons. Listen to my squeaky voice and all of those things. But 13 years later, it just seems like a really good time to take another look at the book. Another look. We took a look back in 2009. It's 2022. Many things have happened, and maybe we should take another look at the book. In 2009, many of us were here and experienced that, but many of us weren't here, which is, you know, a cool thing that 13 years later we have many new people, different people. And so together we can take another look. So for the first half of this year, that's what we're going to do. We are going to take another look at the book. By book, I'm referring to the Bible. We're not going to do the longer version that we did in the past, but we are going to take another look. And you may ask, well, why do this? Well, there are three, I think, core reasons. I think it's a good idea to do this right now. And this is, these are not new reasons. This is just sort of some standard. This is just like part of who we are and part of our understanding regarding the Bible and why it's important to come back to this every once in a while. When it comes to the Bible, here is a book that has been long preserved as a book that reveals who God is. This is a book who reveals who God is. Now, I could stand here for the next 5 hours and make a list of all that God is. Among them, He's creator and judge and father and healer and shepherd and provider and waymaker and gracious. He's compassionate. He's forgiving. He's merciful. He's loving. He's slow to anger. He's a God of possibility. He's a God of immeasurable strength and power, etc., etc., etc. The Bible has been long preserved and reveals who this God is. And it's important that we have a decent and maybe just basic understanding and overview of the Bible so that we can better understand who God is. Jehovah, Yahweh's identity and character is revealed over and over again throughout the pages of the Bible. Even in a book like Esther, where God's name is never even mentioned. But even in the book of Esther, where His name is never mentioned, we get a glimpse of the character, the personality, the identity of God. Another reason why this is important to take another look is that the Bible has been long preserved as a book that reveals who we are. Now, that could be a good thing and sometimes a shocking thing and sometimes a sobering thing and sometimes a rewarding thing. We are God's prized possession. We are the high point of God's creation. We are partners with God in mission. We are broken. We need healing. We need grace. We need loving. We are mistake prone. We are scoundrels. We are redeemable. Sometimes we're incorrigible, but we are useful, we are loved, and we are wanted by God. It's important for us to see that through the stories of Scripture, even some of the stories and Bible verses that we don't read or hear as often as others. A third reason to take another look at the book is that the Bible has been long preserved to show that we are a church community that is shaped by Scripture. What we do and what we sing and what we preach and what we believe is found in the Bible. It is informative to our lives and our lifestyle and our livelihood. One of my favorite authors, N.T. Wright, writes this in one of his thousands of books. He wrote, "We read scripture in order to be refreshed in our memory and understanding of the story within which we ourselves are actors, to be reminded where it has come from and where it is going to, and hence what our own part within it ought to be." We don't read scripture and then say that's for those people that's written in it or some other people. No, we read it to find ourselves as a church community, as individuals within the story of God. And so we are preparing to take another look at the book. As I said a short time ago, we'll be doing a redux version. We won't be looking at every individual book each week like we did in 2009. We will instead look at some different groupings and themes. I have created a reading schedule, that will go through the entire Bible, both Old Testament, New Testament. You'll hear me throughout this series, particularly when it comes to the Old Testament, referring to the Old Testament as the Old Testament or the Hebrew Bible. I get used to using the Hebrew Bible term, so when you hear Hebrew Bible, that's the Old Testament. I have created, again, a reading schedule. And if you are interested in reading the Bible alongside with others, you are welcome to make use of this resource. So this resource is on the back table there. For those of you who are watching online, later on this afternoon, it will be in a PDF form on the website. You can click on that and download that. If you don't want to do that, you want a hard copy, just let me know. I'll bring you a copy. I won't mail it to you because you won't get it for like another 3 weeks probably with our mail system. but you can have this. Now, when it comes to this resource, I want you to treat it as a resource, and you use this resource however you want to use this resource. If you read every reading that's listed in here, and there's some check boxes by it so that you can check the readings. If you miss a day, you want to go back, then you can go ahead and use a check mark. If you use this resource, you will read the entire Bible, both the Hebrew Bible, Old Testament, and New Testament in 153 days if you start tomorrow. It'll start tomorrow, January 24th, and it ends on, I believe, June 25th. You'll read the entire Bible in 153 days. But the way that it's set up is that every day you're going to have a reading from the Psalms, and every day you're going to have a reading from the Proverbs. So you might say, you know, that's just too much for me. I'm just going to read the Psalms every day. Well, use this as a guide to read the Psalms every day. Or you just want to read a proverb every day. Well, there's a selection from the Proverbs every day. You might be saying, you know, I don't know that I want to read the whole Old Testament. I want to start with the New Testament. Well, each day there's a reading from the Old Testament and a reading from the New Testament. So you can just read the New Testament, and there's 153 readings from the New Testament. Or you might say, man, I've read the New Testament over and over again. I really want to dig into the Old Testament. Well, there's an Old Testament reading each day. Or you might want to switch it up. I'll read from the Old Testament this week, and I'll read from the New. You do whatever you want to do. Choose your own adventure. My main goal in providing a resource is to help you establish a rhythm of reading Scripture, a daily rhythm of reading Scripture. And at the end of this, I'm hoping that it is a rhythm that sticks with you, that you say, you know what, I can't go about what I have to do until I spend time in this book, in the Bible, and have this daily rhythm. So this is a resource for you. Again, they're out in the back, and you use them as you wish. Additionally, this is a great time over the next several months. This is going to be a great time for you to invite friends and family and neighbors to our gatherings here on Sunday, and with a simple invitation. Hey, you want to come to church with me or join in with me? Man, we're going through the whole Bible. Give them this resource to share with you. Hey, you want to read the Bible with me, man? I'm going to read a psalm every day. You want to share with me and just read the psalm together, and then maybe once a week we can get together, have some coffee, and talk about that psalm. I don't know. This is, I think, a wonderful, easy opportunity for us to create that culture of inviting and being welcoming to friends and guests. As I did in 2009, I purchased a bunch of Bibles, really nice Bibles. You ever heard of Ollie's Outlet? That's one of my favorite stores. I went to Ollie's Outlet, and they had just a clearance of these NIV, really nice soft-touch Bibles. If there's anyone here that needs a Bible, I got a Bible for you. If you know someone that says, man, I want a Bible, but I just haven't been able to get a good one, tell them I got one for you. I'll give you that Bible. You give that Bible to them. You give them a resource. They can start reading with you. Now listen. I want us to become. I want us to reacquaint ourselves. If you feel like, you know, I'm just not as acquainted with my Bible as I used to be, let's use this time to reacquaint ourselves with the Bible. Now, if you use a cell phone as your Bible, that's fine. I'm not one of those guys that get on people for using electronic devices. Like, there is no rule in the Bible that says that you have to use this kind of Bible as your Bible. Because when this Bible was written, there was not even this type of Bible when this Bible was written. Do you understand me? I really don't care how you read your Bible, what you bring as your Bible. If we do the, hey, hold up your Bible, and you hold up a cell phone or you hold up an iPad, great, fine. I just want you to have one, and I want you to reacquaint yourself with the holy word of God in whatever form you choose. But let's use this time to reacquaint ourselves with the books of the Bible, and let's relearn the books of the Bible and the order that these books are in, and learn the groupings and learn these themes and reacquaint ourselves with the holy word of God. More than that, I want us to discuss the place and the role of the Bible in our lives as individuals, as a church. And this will be our endeavor, to bring about an understanding and appreciation for Scripture that will move us to make reflections. Like the writer of Psalm 19, I don't know if you caught the reflection that the psalmist of Psalm 19 wrote about God's law. In Psalm 19, starting at verse 7, he writes, "The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The decrees of the Lord are sure, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is clear, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. The ordinances of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, even much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and drippings of the honeycomb." The writer of this psalm says, yes, gold is this precious metal. But God's law, God's word, God's ordinance is just better than that. It's sweet and appetizing, more than the sweet honey fresh from a honeycomb. I pray that our endeavor through the Scripture over the next 6 months will enable us to make reflections like that. I would love at the end of this journey to hear some of your reflections. I believe that's what I did at the end of the last time we did this. I just wanted to get some feedback. Like, what did going through Scripture together with the church, you know, what's your reflection on that? Share that with the church. But if those words are too many or too verbose or too poetic for you, maybe going through this journey will enable us to reattach to something that many of us who grew up in a church, we learned when we were kids, you know, going to Bible school or Bible class or VBS. And maybe at the end of this, we'll be able to sing this song with a smile on our face. Y'all remember this song? The B-I-B-L-E. Yes, that's the book for me. I stand. They're going to let me sing by myself. Come on now. The B-I-B-L-E. Yes, that's the book for me. I stand alone on the word of God. The B-I-B-L-E. The B-I. No, we won't raise it up. We won't go on. But as simple and as just kind of amusing as that song is, that's a really powerful profession that we taught our kids, that we were taught as kids, and we teach our kids now. The Bible plays this important role in our lives. The B-I-B-L-E, that's the book for me. I mean, there's a lot of other books, a lot of other literature, a lot of other influences, but when it really comes to who I am, it's the B-I-B-L-E. Or maybe this may be something that you find yourself listening to and resonating with in a very creative way. I've played this spoken word artist in the past, David Bowden, who's an incredible, gifted poet, spoken word artist that does a lot of youth conferences, but he speaks well to adults well. Take a listen to his reflection about the scriptures and the role that it plays in his life.
In the beginning, there were words. For no sky nor dirt, rocks nor birds, heaven nor earth, death nor birth had yet been given proper syllabification. So nothing physical had yet entered creation. But despite the lacking of material manifestations, there did hang one true enunciation. Words. Words of God, spoken script, speaking scripture, holy writ, the writing builder, building mountains out of nouns, plants and herbs from active verbs, planting nations in punctuation, preparing solar positions with prepositions. Nature's narrative was rich with adjectives, but man was dirt and needed an additive, so God added his imperative, impairing the dirt of its ability to be sedative. So came the breath of life, the words that made dirt our relative. We are born of Bible, letters formed our limbs. How can I deny God's words when they are written on my skin? In this breath of life, God breathed to begin, an exhalation for the ages, the inspiration of men. You know the words of which I speak. You've memorized them. They are the Pentateuch, Torah, history books, poets, major and minor prophets, synoptic gospels, Acts of the Apostles, and their epistles. They are our scriptures, those ancient divine whispers scribed by enlightened scriptors passed down to modern listeners. The mouth from which the universe was founded is the fount on which our scriptures are grounded. Listen to where the Bible was originally sounded, for it's far better than what we have lobbied or from traditions copied or our own doctrines embodied. That scripture says, that scripture is God breathed. That means the breath that filled the nostrils of the ground, the life blown into dirt, the exhaling heartbeat that made the simple renowned. That is what can be found in what has been written down. So I believe in the scriptures, where God has breathed the breath of life, where we find the vows between eternal husband and earthly wife, where saints and martyrs find comfort for their strife and stone hearts come to get cut with a knife. I believe in the scriptures. When God breathed on dirt, he got man. When he breathed on man, he got words. The words are not in the dirt, but in the breath. The breath passes from man to man until they return to dirt, the eternal chain of command, the passing of words. And now the words are in our hands. But so often they're only found behind our lips or on our eyes, within church doors in red and black lines, printed on shirts, our commitments disguise. What we say is truth, our lives claim is a lie. but I believe in the scriptures. For those scribal scribblings refuse to stay on the page, for they give life, so life is required to be paid. The words in your Bibles are not meant on paper to lay, but to be resurrected in your flesh as you die to them every day. I believe in the scriptures, for by them, through them, and to them I was made. For they are the words of Genesis, the exodus of shame. They are the words that form my bones and the ones that will call me from the grave. They are the ink on my flesh, the pen on my tongue. They are the words by which creation has begun and through which recreation will be done. They are the words of God, and we are his listeners. I believe God still speaks. I believe in the scriptures.
Now, at the end of this series, you all have to memorize that poem. Some of you are saying, no, I'll just sing the B-I-B-L-E. I pray that at the end of this journey in 6 months, we can firmly say that I believe the scriptures. I pray that at the end of this journey, we will say that the B-I-B-L-E, that's the book. I hope that at the end of 6 months, we will be able to make reflection like the psalmist. The law of God is perfect, reviving the soul. That its words are more precious than gold and sweeter than honey, even fresh honey from the honeycomb. Join us in this journey as we reflect on these ancient words, long preserved, these words that have been preserved to reveal to us who God is. These words that reveal to us who we are. These words that reveal to us the place that the Christian church plays and how we are shaped by the story of the scripture. May this time enable us to, with one heart, read some of the same pages together and create some discussions other than who won the football games or who won this election or what happened over here in this part of town. Those are all great conversations. Trust me, I am hoping we are talking about the Buffalo Bills next week playing another game. I hope we're talking about that. But more than that, I would love to talk to you all about, what did you read in Psalm 1 or Matthew 1? What did you read in the book of Genesis? Ancient words long preserved. Will you join us in this journey as we take another look at the book? If you would stand with me, we're going to sing a reprise of ancient words. And this is a moment that if there is anything that we can do for you, you want to share something with the church, feel free to do that. If you're online, share it in the chat box. But if there is something that we can offer to you as the body of Christ, we would love to be your church, to be your family in your hour of need. Let's sing the song together.